This past Wednesday, I saw many of our Jewish friends going to synagogue. We have in our neighborhood four synagogues within walking distance. Now, why were they going to synagogue on Wednesday? They were about to celebrate Shavuot, Pentecost. In the Greek, Pentecoste Hermara, the 50th day. That is the 50th day after. It's after Easter for us, after Passover for them. Now the Jews are reminded of the providential hand of God in supplying their needs. And also, they consider it the birthday of the giving of the law at Sinai. For Christians, and for Christians here in the book of Acts, Pentecost was and is a celebration of the coming of the Holy Spirit. The celebration of the law not written on tablets of stone, but written on our hearts. And a reception of the Holy Spirit not just for a few, but for you, your children, and all who are far off. As you read the Old Testament carefully, you see that the Spirit does come, but the Spirit only comes on occasions. So go throughout the book of Judges, which is fascinating in itself. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson, and he did his thing. The Spirit of the Lord came upon Jephthah, and he did his thing. And that's how it works in the Old Testament. The Spirit comes and goes. But here, the Spirit comes and stays. Fascinating parallels. Acts 2 actually parallels Luke chapter 1. Remember, they were written by the same hand. The Holy Spirit visits Mary in Luke chapter 1, and the Savior of the world is born. In Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit visits Mary again. You notice she's there? With the apostles, of course. But then the church is born. Another fascinating parallel. In Genesis 11, humanity is all in one accord. Probably use the same kind of language as the apostles in the upper room. And they are building a tower. In the ancient world, it's called a ziggurat. Now, this is a stairway to heaven. But more accurately, it's a stairway from heaven. The people believed that they could force God to come down. If they were unified enough, if they were manipulative enough, they could manipulate the hand of the Almighty to come down. And this was called what? The Tower of Babel. In the story, you know, God confuses the people, and they begin to speak different languages, and they are dispersed, right? The day of Pentecost, God does descend in the Holy Spirit. And rather than confusing the world with different languages, he fills the air with praises using different languages. And Peter sees this as a fulfillment of the prophet Joel. And you can almost hear the words of Moses again that we heard from Numbers. Would that all God's people could prophesy. And did the people again disperse? Yes, they did. But this time with the gospel. This time with the knowledge of God. But what does Pentecost mean for us today? Many things. Here are just a couple. First, the primary message of Jesus was what? What did he say as soon as he went out to preach? The kingdom of heaven is at hand. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. And he meant it. Because Jesus came to be among us as God in the flesh. And because God also sends the Holy Spirit to be among us permanently. The world is charged with God. It has always had God's footprints, but now more than ever. the world is charged with the grandeur of God. And Hopkins ends the poem, because the Holy Ghost over the bent world broods with warm breast and with bright wings. He also says elsewhere, acts in God's eye. What in God's eye he is? Christ. For Christ plays in 10,000 places. This is what it means for the kingdom of heaven to be at hand. Through the power of the Spirit, Christ plays in 10,000 places. The world is changed by the grandeur of God. There is no place where God is not. There is no place where he is not actively working among his people. No place. There is a supernatural world within our world because of the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit is present, he does not bend natural law. He shows us what the supernatural is, that he is placed within it. How do you know when the Spirit's among us? We talked about it a couple weeks ago. There will be fruit. Love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Where these things are, the Spirit of the Lord is. Are there supernatural manifestations? Yes, there are. And I would argue that those are also supernatural manifestations. How many of us behave in that way? We try. These are characteristics of Jesus himself. This is the ministry of the Holy Spirit among us. This is what we pray for in baptism. That the person being baptized, whether they be tiny or big, would have the characteristics of Christ. Someone asked Mother Teresa, what is it like to be a living saint? She said, no. I'm not a saint. What you are seeing is my proximity to Jesus. So it is with the Holy Spirit. So it is with the presence of God among us. We can be so close that people wonder, is this a living saint? Of course, we are not Mother Teresa. But those same things that were available to her are available to us. In Pentecost, God becomes available to us if we just draw near to him. Which brings me to my last point. How do we do that? How can the Spirit be more active in our lives? To answer that is to simply look where he is active. Through weakness, through humility. Our favorite two things. On the day of Pentecost, the Spirit comes in power with great manifestations. And we'll be reading through Acts, and you see how the apostles suddenly have these abilities that they never had before. They pray and people recover from sickness. The dead are raised. The guy's listening to Paul's sermon. He is so bored out of his mind that he falls asleep and he falls dead out the window. And what does Paul do? He goes down and prays for him and the guy gets back up. Though that's true, look who the Holy Spirit worked with. He first came to fishermen and peasants in the upper room. They were united in heart and mind, and that's important, but mostly they were humble and they were available. They were simple and lowly folk hungry for God. Humility. And weakness. I mentioned last week of St. George's Anglican Church, and I promised to tell you more about it, in Baghdad, pastored by Canon Andrew White. Canon White and his folks rescued a dilapidated old expat church with nothing but a baptismal font. Canon White's initial prayer: "One day, Lord, one day may we come alive again." And his favorite verse from Haggai kept going in through his mind: "The glory of this latter house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts, and I in this place will give peace." Well, what has happened at St. George's is nothing short of miraculous. I mentioned that all of the Christian denominations came together to worship there because they had to. They had no other choice. All the other churches were destroyed. Persecution in Iraq has forced them to come together, to rely on the Spirit of God. Their favorite part of the liturgy: "The Lord is here. His Spirit is among us." The Lord is here. His Spirit is among us. Now, initially, Canon White asked the Lord, "What shall we bring to these people? What do they need?" A few things came to mind, but he started with two: food and healing. First, they build a food bank, which serves, of course, hundreds, you can imagine, a day. Second, they built a clinic in which doctors and dentists see 150 people every day. When possible, people are given the medicine that they need. Sometimes, though, the illnesses are too much, or the people can't get to the clinic, oftentimes because it's too dangerous. So members of the church ask Canon White, "Can we have some anointing oil, blessed by the bishop?" Which, if you're a good Episcopalian, you know you have some on hand. They're the only church in the world that runs out, because the people take it among their family members and their friends to pray for others. And many, many times people recover. People just want to be near Abuna White, Father White, or near the church because of the sense of God's healing. But these things don't come without a cost. Canon White has MS and is often exhausted. There are bombings all the time. Their church has been bombed several times. Oh, and what about that baptismal font? When you're baptized in Iraq, that is a statement of faith. It is to take your life into your own hands. Or maybe I should say, give your life away. Because isn't that what baptism is anyway? That baptismal font, which since Canon White came to the church, has been the place of the baptisms of thousands, is the symbol of God's presence amidst weakness and the symbol of potential martyrdom. Since Canon White began in St. George's, over 1,200 people have been killed that have passed through the waters of baptism just because they did it, or they brought their children to be baptized. Yet God is at work in and among the poor and weak in Baghdad. As Canon White has said, "One thing I know for sure is that if God has called you to do something, He will always enable you to do it, and He will give you joy in doing it. He who has called you will never fail you. I know without a doubt that my strength is made perfect in weakness, and I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The fact that God should use me, who is not the perfect image of health, to bring healing to others, is once again a sign of God's grace. It's all Him and not me." Because of the coming of the Spirit, all of us are called, regardless of who we are, regardless of how small we are, regardless of how insignificant we are, regardless of our lack of confidence, even in our own faith, we are all called to walk with the Spirit every day. I close with the words of N.T. Wright. My prayer for us this Pentecost, for everyone here, but perhaps particularly for the dear old Church of England and us, as it stumbles and slides into the 21st century, is that we will come in fear and trembling once more before our God and pray for a fresh outpouring of the Spirit, a fresh renewal of the heart, a fresh revealing of the wind and fire of God's glory. What we do here today and in every Eucharist is either to invoke the living God, to enact once more the sacrament of His love, the joining of heavenly food with earthly food, or it's a waste of time, a bit of archaic mumbo-jumbo. I pray that it will be the former, that God will pour out upon us and upon His old church, His whole church, the Spirit of His presence and power, that not only this house, but each of us as living human beings will be cleansed and restored as temples, places where God lives, which He transforms by the renewal of our hearts, to which others are drawn as we tell in diverse tongues the mighty works of God.